Well, thank you for your prayers for us on this last trip to Santo Domingo in Dominican Republic. There's the one island, and the western side is Haiti, and the eastern side is Dominican Republic. And, you know, God is, many have turned to the Lord in Dominican Republic, and God has really, really, you know, blessed that country in many ways. With Haiti, you know, they had one president some years ago who even gave the country to Satan. And, you know, compared, it's all on the one island, but there's like poverty in one and blessing on the other side. And it's quite amazing. And, you know, the church, it's pretty hot there. Where temperatures were in the 80s, high 80s, sometimes, you know, around there, very hot, very humid. But there's some wonderful people there. And in the church we're with, I mean, God is doing some very precious things. In fact, they had it was a public holiday. This is the Thursday, right at the end of last month, and it was a public holiday. And with this church, it's called Ministerios Elim, but there's about 20 different branch churches throughout the island of Dominican Republic, throughout the country of Dominican Republic. And so all those, they came and they had a celebration day. And it was like a service, starting at 8:30 in the morning and going through till 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And, you know, there was praise, there was worship, there was singing, there were specials, there were testimonies, there was preaching, there was a panel and the prayer for various things. And there was a real atmosphere of love and a real atmosphere of joy in the meetings. And they rented the sports stadium, so there would have been probably, you know, maybe 2,000 to 3,000 people there. It was a big event. And towards the end of the afternoon, they asked me to share a bit about just give instructions about the baptism of the Spirit. So I asked, first of all, how many were not filled with the Holy Spirit. Many, you know, several hundred put up their hands. And so they come down to the front. We had, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people there. And we just gave some simple instructions. I prayed a prayer. They prayed after me. And then it was quite amazing. Just the Spirit of God came down. And you know, all around, people were just lost in God, and they weren't inhibited at all, and just boldly, many people just were speaking out in tongues and glorifying God, and, you know, possibly hundreds. I mean, I don't know. There were just so many people there in the front, but, you know, God came down and really met us, and it was a very, very special time. It was sort of a time times like that, I guess etched in your memory, you don't forget. And then on the Sunday service, last Sunday, I mean, they have three services a day, and every service, people are getting saved. People are getting saved. People are getting saved every service. And that Sunday morning, even before the preaching, somebody just got up and spoke just for, you know, 3 or 4 minutes, a very short salvation message. Maybe about a dozen people came forward to give their hearts to the Lord. And in that service, I think there's about, they told me there's nearly 1,500 chairs. And in the first morning service, some of them are pretty late in getting there, but I couldn't see a single spare seat. I mean, it was all just, it was packed out. And then they had another service after that, and they had an evening service as well. And, you know, we heard some of the testimonies of some of the lives of being in sin and all kinds of problems, and, you know, the Lord's coming into their hearts and changing them and touching them. So it was a very special time. You know, they've got a Bible Institute there. We had about 30 or 40 35, 40 students, and I taught there for nearly 3 hours, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Friday night, and again, very, very receptive, very open, sharing on the subject of leadership, principles of leadership. And on Friday night, I just asked again if any of them were not filled with the Spirit, and there were eight who were not filled with the Spirit. They came forward, and seven of them just immediately just God touched them. They were just praying in tongues and filled with the Holy Spirit, worshiping the Lord. And then one we had to pray with a bit more, and then he got a release. And so the whole eight of them wonderfully came through. So it was a really, really nice time. And then we just traveled back yesterday. Well, this morning I want to speak on fruitfulness. God wants us to be fruitful. And, you know, God wants our works and the things that we do, you know, to go into eternity. And, you know, many things we can't take with us when we die. We can't take our house. We can't take our car. We can't take our bank account. We can't take any material things. We came into this world with nothing. We leave this world, in that sense, with nothing. But yet, we can take things into eternity. We can take our character into eternity. And we can take our fruit, our spiritual fruit, into eternity. And when we invest in lives, and we see lives changed and help people, and they're touched and they're changed. I mean, that's eternal. There are eternal rewards, and they go on for eternity. We can enjoy those rewards, as it were, for eternity, you know, in heaven with Jesus. And Paul said to the Thessalonians, and he'd led them to the Lord, he'd helped them, he'd seen them through their problems and trials, he'd helped them develop and grow in the Lord. And Paul said, when he writes to them, he said, "You are my joy, you're my crown of rejoicing." And because of his investment in them, you know, that's his reward. That's his reward, and that reward is for all eternity. And when we serve the Lord, when we spend time in prayer, when we spend time in the Word of God, you know, it goes on for eternity. There's eternal rewards. When we spend time, you know, helping people, sharing the gospel with somebody else, doing good deeds and helping people in practical ways. When we invest in others and invest in the kingdom of God and the purposes of God, there is fruit. There is fruit. And there is fruit that goes on into eternity. And there is fruit. And that's what the Lord wants in all of our lives, that we would be fruitful. And Jesus says in John 15 is the familiar chapter. You know, Jesus he's the true vine. And we are the branches. And the Father is the husbandman. And if a branch is not fruitful, Jesus said, well, it's just cut off. It's thrown into the fire. We don't want to be like that. But in that chapter, in verse 2, it speaks about fruit. In verse 2, it also speaks about more fruit. In verse 8, it speaks about much fruit. So we want to see fruit developing, fruit increasing, fruit growing in our lives. Fruit, more fruit, and much fruit. And at the end of that chapter, John's Gospel in chapter 15, it tells us there, verse 16, "You have not chosen me." But Jesus says, "I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit." You should go and bring forth fruit. and that your fruit should remain. So Jesus said, I've ordained you, I've chosen you. That's what God's purpose is, that we would go forth, we would bring forth fruit, and God wants our fruit to remain, you know, to remain for eternity, eternal fruit. You should bring forth fruit, and our fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. So Jesus is saying, bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. And in the life of Jesus, his teaching deepens as he goes on during his ministry. In the first year, he spoke to Nicodemus. He spoke about being born again. There were the, you know, basics of the kingdom. And then later on, about a year and a half into his ministry, John 6, and he's speaking about, you know, I am the bread of life, and he that eats me, and he that drinks my blood. And then later on, in just before he went to the cross, in John 15, and he's speaking some of his most important teachings. And here in John 15, this was given just before, 24 hours before he went to the cross. He's the true vine. And the purpose of a vine, you plant a vineyard, is to get grapes, to get fruit, to get fruit. And our lives, I mean, we get saved, yes, but that's just the beginning. We're to grow, we're to go on, we're to mature, and by the grace of God, we want to be those who are fruitful. We want the fruit of the Spirit in our lives, love, joy, peace, you know, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faithfulness, faith, self-control. We want all those fruit. We want to see them grow, see them develop. Others notice them in our lives. And just as in the natural, when a husband and man and a woman are married, generally speaking, not always, but often there's fruit. Children come along and they reproduce. And there's fruitfulness. But the most important area of fruitfulness is fruitfulness in the Spirit, fruitfulness in God, spiritual fruitfulness. And of course, the natural is a type of the spiritual. God wants all of us to be fruitful. And when we were, the lady we stayed with in DR, and her name was Myrta. Her name is Myrta. And we stayed with her when we last went to Dominican Republic. It was 5 years ago. And she was very kind to us. We stayed in her home. And then we prayed with her, I think the night before we left. It was about midnight, after a meeting, and she wanted to be filled with the Spirit. And God came down and wonderfully filled her with the Spirit. And she's really going on for the Lord now. And we stayed with her again this time. Now she's one of the intercessors in the church. And while the meetings are going on, often there's a group of people. I have about 50 intercessors in the church, and for each service, there are those intercessors. They go early and they're praying and interceding for the service and for the presence of God and for people to get saved. And every service, there are intercessors who are praying. And you know, she's one of these. She's one of the intercessors there. And anyway, her son-in-law, he works there in DR. In fact, he's a doctor, not just a doctor, but he's a surgeon, and he's a neurosurgeon. He operates on the brain. You know, very clever man. He does spinal surgeries, and also he's a neuro doctor, and he does you know, surgery on the brain. And anyway, he took us out one day we were there, and he took us out, and he had a avocado farm, and he took us to visit this avocado farm. And so we went, he had a Jeep, and it was about a maybe 45 minutes, an hour drive outside of Santo Domingo. Santo Domingo, it's a big city, maybe 2 or 3 million people there in Santo Domingo. But we went out and we got into the near a village, and then there was just a big sort of forest area. And then we went up some very narrow roads, and it was four-wheel drive. We went up, and it was, even though we hadn't driven all that far, it was almost kind of like we were in a tropical jungle somewhere, and there was very steep hills. And then he had about 12 acres of land, and he had this avocado farm. And that avocado farm was very fruitful, very fruitful. And he was really passionate about it. And that's what got me onto this message this morning about fruitfulness. He was very passionate about this avocado farm. And we climbed up. Marilyn came up. I had to pull her up part of the way. It was real steep hill. And even in the steep hill, the steep part of it, you know, it was... there were all these avocado trees, and some were down below, lower level, and some were up a higher level, and some were up very high. We didn't climb up there, but it was, you know, very, very, very high. It was quite a long, long, hard walk to get up there. But it was just like a magnificent view of this panorama of the jungle and this orchard and all these avocado trees. And these avocado trees, and I mean, his purpose in having this farm, he enjoyed it, but it wasn't just for fun. I mean, he would, you know, he wanted those avocados to be fruitful. He wanted them to be multiply, and they were multiplying. And, you know, some of them were export quality, and some of them he had to pick them at a certain time just before the ship left for the States. And they would be exported. Others would be exported to Europe. Some would even be put in plane and then flow into Europe or flow into Russia. And then they cost about, you know, I mean, in Santo Domingo, they cost maybe about 10 cents each, or just virtually very cheap. But here they're often a dollar each. And over in Russia and Europe, where they've got to be flown, sometimes they're, you know, $3 a piece. So naturally he wants his orchard, his avocado orchard to multiply and be fruitful. And so, you know, a lot has to be, there's quite a science in it. There's quite an art of it. There's different kinds of avocados, but there's one purpose of it all. That's to bear forth fruit, to bear forth fruit. And he told me, he said, some avocado trees, just one tree, well, at harvest time, they'll have about 100 avocados. He said others maybe from anywhere from, say, 40 to 70, 80, 90, sort of various levels. Some would have about 100. They multiply 100 times. Some, you know, 30 times, 40, 50, 60, and everywhere in between. But his aim, obviously, was to see many multiply. And also, he shared with me about the different kinds that there are, and there were different kinds of avocados, and they would have harvest time at different times of the year with the different times, and so most of the year they'd be able to have, you know, ripe avocados, and there was one kind. It was called the Benny kind, and the avocados were very big, and, you know, very, very big. They looked really nice and very delicious, and they're special ones for exporting. And then they had another kind, which he showed us, that was called Samuel 34, and they didn't look so nice. They were smaller, slightly different shape. They were not for export, but he reckoned that they were just as good to taste as the other ones. But anyway, for some reason, those were not accepted for export. And then certain types grew, you know, at a lower level, but there was right at the very top of the property where he had it, right at the very top of this big hill, then there was another different kind of avocados. They were called a Kala avocado. And they were able to thrive even at a higher altitude. And they grew there at a higher altitude, but the other kinds, if they were planted at that altitude, they would not be able to survive well. So there was a lot was involved, and then sometimes they would mix different kinds or have like an implant, a hybrid sort of different kinds together, which would cause them to be able to grow faster, and so that they could get fruit, in a better time. But the whole aim of the whole aim, fruitfulness, that would be multiplication. That was the purpose. He bought the farm, so that, he could have our avocados, they could be fruitful, he could sell them, and he can gain profit. And that's the reason that most people, plant things is because they want a harvest. They want it to be fruitful. And Jesus spoke that common parable that we all know so well, but there's such spiritual truth in it. And that is the parable of the sower, And that is recorded. It's in Matthew's Gospel 13. It's in Mark's Gospel chapter 4. It's in Luke's Gospel chapter 8. And Jesus said, well, if you don't understand this parable, the parable of the sower, you don't understand the other parables. And Jesus spoke this parable, the parable of the sower. And actually, often we think of it as four grounds or four pieces of ground. But really, I think there are six. There are six pieces of ground. There is the seed that fell on the wayside. Then there's the seed that fell on the stony ground. Then there's the seed that fell amongst the thorns and the weeds. And those three, there was no fruit. No fruit came forth. Some of them started good for a while, but didn't last, and there was no fruit. So there were three pieces of ground that did not bear any fruit at all. And then there were three other pieces of ground, three and three, six pieces of ground. The first piece of ground brought 30-fold, and then another piece of ground brought forth 60-fold. It was fruitful, 30-fold. The next one was fruitful, 60-fold. And then, of course, there was the final one, the sixth piece of ground, which brought forth 100-fold, which was abundantly fruitful. That was, 100-fold, 100%. And, that's what we want to go for. That's our goal. That's our aim. That's where we want to hit. And when you travel in Israel, one of the things that are very obvious, there's a lot of hilly ground, and there's a lot of stony ground, there's a lot of shale. And, sometimes there's just a little bit of soil, just maybe a few inch or two of soil on the top. And so a lot of the ground, it's often hard to find, good ground for cultivation and growing things. And when Jesus gave the parable in Matthew's, we'll look at Matthew's account in Matthew 13. And Jesus is giving this parable to his disciples. In fact, not just to his disciples, he's giving it to the whole multitude. And chapter 13 and verse 2, a great multitude were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And Jesus is on the Sea of Galilee. He just launches out a little bit, and there was this whole multitude, masses of people on the shore. And then, he speaks to them, and he speaks many things to them, but it says he spoke to them in parables. And then he began with this parable, a parable of the sower, the parable of the sower. And at that time, there was all this multitude. Jesus had no microphone or anything. I mean, he must have had a very powerful voice. Maybe being on the sea, if the wind was blowing about, it would help to take his voice to the multitude that were there on the shore. And parable, Jesus often spoke in parables. He often spoke in parables. And Isaiah tells us the reason Jesus spoke in parables. And of course, a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. An earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And a parable is a story that obscures divine truth to those who do not have hearts for the Lord. And so that only those who have a heart to know the truth can understand. And he did not want to give his pearls and hidden treasures to those who would not appreciate them. And even, you know, as we look to the Lord for revival here, not everybody who's going to come in will be given a heart to understand truth. Those who don't love the truth, you know, will not understand the truth. And often it's a matter not so much of our intellect or our mind to understand, but it's a condition of the heart, the attitude of a heart. Do we have a heart for God? Do we have a heart that's going to obey? Do we have a heart to seek truth and to obey what the Lord speaks to us? And so often the ability to understand a parable or to understand doctrine, it's often a matter not so much of our intellect, but of our heart, of our will, of our will. John 7, verse 17 says, if we desire to do his will, to know his will, Jesus said, we will know of the doctrine. We will know what is of God and what is not. We will know what is of God, what is not. So it's by grace. It's by, you know, the grace of the Lord. And a sower in the time of Jesus, when they would sow, you know, first of all, it'd be the barley harvest, and then that would be the beginning of that in the first month. And then about the third month, there'd be the beginning of the wheat harvest. And so when a farmer was sowing, often he'd have a piece of land, and he'd have a bag round his neck, and he'd have the seed inside, and he'd walk along, and he'd throw some out the side, and he'd throw some on this side, and he'd throw out the seed. And then, you know, he'd walk back, and he'd throw some more seed. And where he walked up and where he walked down, often that ground, it became very firm, it became very hard. And obviously the seed that was there, the seed that was sown, it did not penetrate, it did not germinate, it did not go down. And so, you know, the birds of the air, they came and they just gobbled up the seed. I mean, if we sow seed on this floor here, I mean, it's not gonna be fruitful. It's hard. It's not gonna go down. There's no earth. And the seed on the wayside, that was taken away. It was taken away by the birds. The birds speak of Satan. The birds speak of evil spirits. And there's many people, even who come to church, they hear the word of God. They hear the word of God. They hear the word of God. But sadly, it does not change them. It does not germinate. It does not germinate. It does not penetrate. And it's because it's like hard ground. Their heart is hard ground. And sometimes the reason is because they're not willing to change. They're not willing to obey. They're not willing to follow God's ways. They want to continue a sinful lifestyle. And if people are like that, when they hear the word of God, the word of God will not penetrate. It'll be like seed. No matter how good the preacher is, best preachers in the world. But if the heart is hard, it's not going to penetrate. It's going to do no good. The birds of the air, the demons will just come and snatch away what's been sown. And the result, of course, there's no fruit. Nothing is produced from that. In Colossians 1, in verse 21, it tells us there about wicked works or sinfulness. And in Colossians 1:21, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies of your mind by wicked works, yet now have you reconciled. But the point is the first part of that verse, you who were sometimes alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, In other words, when people are living in sin and continuing in that sinful lifestyle, and, you know, so many today are in all kinds of sin. They're in immorality and drugs and alcohol and witchcraft and so many other things. But when people sin and keep sinning, something happens in their mind, and their mind is alienated from God. Their mind is separated from God. And then their mind gradually becomes, you know, incapable of sound decisions. Wicked works, they alienate, they separate the mind from God. They set the mind against God. And so, you know, the wayside speaks of a type of heart that is not prepared to receive God's word. And that can be because of sin and other reasons as well, and because of a lack of understanding of the word of God, the devil's able to come and snatch, take away, eat that seed that was sown. And of course, there's no fruit that is born. And, you know, many come to church, and, you know, the word of God does not change them. It does not penetrate them. And then there was the stony ground, the seed that fell upon the stony ground. And it would germinate. It would go down quickly. It would come up. And like those, with joy, they receive the word of God. And things of God are wonderful. And Jesus is answering prayer and helping us. And the Christian life is real, is changing us. But then problems come. Persecution comes. Tribulations come. Trials come. Offenses come. And offenses will come. Jesus said offenses must come. Offenses will come. And what happens? Then sometimes they don't forgive. And then the seed, even though it started to shoot up, then the sun comes up, and there's the stones underneath, or the shale underneath, and just 1 or 2 inches of soil only, and it goes down. The root cannot penetrate, and gradually it dies. And the result, there is no fruit. And our heart, we've got to be careful, because it's possible to have good ground. But then if we don't maintain that ground, you know, if a farmer does not weed, then the weeds come up and the thorns come up, and if the stones are not taken away, then it's not going to be a forth fruit. So you can have a good heart for a time, but if you don't maintain that, you can lose that, and your heart can become soft and hard, and it's like and also like the weeds in your life. And so it's just like a fire. If it's going to keep burning, you've got to do something. You've got to keep putting wood on the fire so it keeps burning. And so if we're going to have you know, a good heart, if we're going to have a heart, if our heart is going to be like ground that brings forth fruit, we need to work at it. We need to work at it. We need to make sure there's no stones, there's no hardness, there's no sin, there's no rebellion in our hearts, and we need to work at it, and because by the grace of God we want our lives to be fruitful for the kingdom of God. We want eternal rewards. We want fruit. The weed, the thorny ground, and the seed comes up, but as we know, weeds come up faster than the good seed. Weeds and thorns. And so the good seed comes up, but then the thorns come up and the weeds come up. And the weeds and the thorns, they wrap themselves around the good seed, and they take the sunlight and so on, and then eventually the good seed will wither, and then it will die, and then it will bear forth no fruit. And what did Jesus say? Jesus said, and it brings it out well in Luke's account, in Luke 8 and verse 14, it says, it's choked with the cares and the riches and the pleasures of this life. The cares of this life with riches and pleasures of this life. They are like the weedy ground, the thorny ground, the thorns and the weeds, which seek to choke out the good seed. And often you can look at some ground and you think it's good ground, but there's the seeds of the weeds and the thorns there, and it can be deceiving. And those areas, you know, they can cause us to be unfruitful. The care, and Jesus spoke out three things, what those cares were in Luke 8, verse 14. And the cares of this life, the deceitfulness of riches, and the pleasures of this life, the pleasures of this life. You know, the cares, the worries of this world. Paul writes to the Philippians, Philippians 4 and verse 6. He said, be anxious for nothing. Be careful for nothing. In everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And don't worry. Look to me. Don't be anxious. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, take no thought. You know, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? Things of this life. Another translation puts it like this. Don't be preoccupied. Don't let that be, you know, the number one thing in your life. You know, what you eat, what you wear, material things. Don't be preoccupied by that. But Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, seek first. Matthew 6, 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that you need, God knows we need them. And he will undertake for us. He will help us. The cares of this life, they can cause us to be unfruitful. Paul has to write to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4. Don't be tangled or ensnared with the things of this life. And if we are entangled with the affairs of this life, you know, we become unable to accomplish God's purposes for our lives. Are we wise? Are we not wise? The cares of this life. Do we buy a whole lot of things we don't really need, but just consume all our energy and time? And then we find difficulty in paying for them. Are we wise? We need to be careful. If we're going to bear fruit, we need to cut things out. If we're going to be fruitful, you've got to get rid of the stones. If you're going to be fruitful, you've got to get rid of the weeds and the thorns. And if we're going to be fruitful spiritually, there's certain things in our life sometimes, maybe they're not even wrong things, but they're just consuming our money, our time, our energy, and they're not profitable, you know, for eternity. The second area Jesus said when he talks about the weeds, he says riches, the deceitfulness of riches, the danger of riches. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, the love of money, not money itself. Money can be used mightily for the kingdom of God, but the love of money, that consuming passion, the love of money, like the rich young ruler had, like Judas had, that greed that he had, the love of money, Paul said, is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. And so, if we're going to be a fruit, if we're going to be fruitful spiritually, we must watch our desires. We must be very careful. We must be content with what God has given and be very careful in the area of finance. One quote I'll give you from Pastor Bailey, which I really appreciate. And Pastor Bailey said this. He said this. The truly liberated person is one who has no desires but the Lord himself. That's a wonderful statement. Let me just say it again. Pastor Bailey said this, these words. The truly liberated person, the one who's truly free, is the one who has no desires except the Lord. He just desires the Lord. You know, like David, one thing have I desired, that I might be in the presence of God, you know, all the days of my life. And we need to be careful. Cares of this world. We need to be careful. The deceitfulness of riches. And the third thing that's mentioned in Luke 8, verse 14, is the pleasures of this life. The pleasures of this life. King Edward the Eighth, he was asked at the end of his life, you know, how do you feel? How do you feel? He turned to his wife. She was the Duchess of Windsor and said, you know, we had a good time, didn't we? We had a good time, didn't we? Well, the purpose of life is not just to have pleasure. It's not just to have a good time. The purpose of life is that we would know the Lord. We would live for the Lord. We would have relationship with the Lord. We would serve the Lord. And Jesus said the dangers of the pleasures of this life. And, you know, many today, they're just, you know, that's their goal in life. That's their aim in life. You know, pleasure. You know, do this, do that, go here, go there. Now, it's true. We do need relaxation from time to time. That's why God created the Sabbath day. Work 6 days, rest on the seventh. And, you know, sometimes when we're busy serving the Lord and busy in the ministry, Jesus even said to the disciples, he said, well, you know, come away, let us rest a while. And that is needed. But, you know, some people, their whole life, it is just revolves around pleasure, the pleasure of this life. Proverbs 21, verse 17, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. In the margin of some Bibles, God, he that loveth sport shall be a poor man. He that loveth pleasure, he that loveth sport. You know, some people, some sports, it can just consume their whole life. You know, all the day they're checking on the scores, checking on this star or this guy or this person, how many runs that has made and da-da-da. And, you know, it can consume, you know, people's lives, pleasures of this life, pleasures of sport and the things of this world. And the result, if we get too consumed with these things, and often things, there's nothing wrong with them. They're not sin. But they just suck away. The devil uses it to suck away, to take away our time, our energy, you know, so that we don't serve the Lord and don't live for the Lord. Demas, he was with Paul. But then later in his life, you know, the grip of the... It was like he was serving the Lord. It was like he was bearing forth fruit. It seemed that he had good ground. But then the love of the world, the love of riches came in. And he ended up leaving the Apostle Paul. And it seems that he quit and he backslid and went back into the world. You know, we've got to go on and maintain good ground, good hearts. The hearts can bear forth fruit like those avocados, some of them 100-fold, like Jesus said, you know, 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And those grounds, really, it wasn't just one ground, because you can't have 30-fold in one ground and 60-fold in the same ground at the same time. But if we imagine, you know, a piece of ground, and we can imagine in that ground, 30% of that ground is bearing forth fruit. But then what about the other 70%? Well, the other 70% must be either stony ground, it must be hard ground, or it must be weeds and thorns. And as somebody said, you know, 30-fold, that means 70% of it is not fruitful. If you get 30% in your English examination or in your maths examination, you're not happy. You're not happy. It's really minus 70. You don't want a 30% grade. 30%, you don't even pass. It's a failing grade. So we don't want just 30-fold. But so that's the ground number four is a 30-fold. It brings forth fruit, but only 30-fold. And the ground number five that Jesus mentioned is the ground that brings forth 60-fold. 60-fold. Now, 60-fold, that is becoming fruitful. That is becoming fruit. But still, you're not too happy with a 60% grade. That's like minus 40. That, you know, it's not fruitful. But the sixth piece of ground, ground number six, is that ground that brought forth 100-fold. 100-fold. And that should be our goal. That should be our aim. We want to be fruitful for the kingdom of God. We want to hear those words when Jesus comes. Well done, well done. You've been very fruitful. Good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. And remember this life from the time we are born to the time we die. It is very short, very short. 70 years. I'm 71. I'm living on borrowed time by 1 year. But we only have a short time, very short. And it's so compared with all eternity in that direction, as far as you can go, imagine in that direction, forever and ever and ever. And yet, what we do in this life depends our whole eternity. And we want to be those that are fruitful. That's the desire of Jesus. Go forth, bear forth fruit, and that your fruit might remain. And when we are serving God, when we are living for the Lord, when we're spending time in prayers, time in His presence, time in His Word, when we're sharing, witnessing for the Lord, sharing Christ with others, you know, when we're doing good works and helping others and dying to ourselves and living for God, you know, we are gaining fruit for all eternity. And that neurosurgeon I was telling you about who had the avocados, he was very conscientious. Very conscientious to get the maximum fruit. Spiritually, though, he's not yet saved. we had the joy of witnessing to them and sharing the Lord with them when we were driving back. But, you know, some people, they might be a fruit, avocados or barley or corn or whatever the harvest might be, mangoes, oranges, apples. That's fine, but that's only for this life. We want to be those that our fruit will be for eternity, forever and ever and ever. Let us pray.